This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little lassies and flatter she's a me, honey.
John Callio, will you go round with me?
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty, I can't stand it anymore!
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for you.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is broke right now.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we're turning our attention to the vast number of instances of sexual misconduct, harassment and assault that has really crippled the film industry these past few months, but has been ongoing within the film industry for as long as the casting couch has been a myth. Yet all of a sudden, the eyes of the international community have turned on the film industry where these issues seem to have ramped up. So tonight on Outtakes, we're exploring these issues. We're asking, well, what is the difference between sexual harassment, sexual misconduct and sexual assault? And why has it crippled the film industry so significantly? And also, why now? You know, why are people starting to talk about these issues now when we know that this has been going on for so, so long?
And that's the kind of, and that's the thing a lot of us can't wrap around our heads. I mean,
or the casting, indeed wrap our heads around.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, the casting couch joke.
Yeah.
Has been around for, it's, you know, it's a water cooler type of joke. Shouldn't be.
That's right.
It's completely inappropriate. But all of a sudden, something has changed in the landscape that, and it's not that people are speaking out. People have been speaking out for such a long time and not being heard. But all of a sudden there has been a major shift.
And I think it's not a stretch to say that that major shift started with one man.
I think you're alluding to a news clip from Harvey Weinstein. Is that the one?
Is that the one?
It's a news clip.
Go?
We're having some trouble playing it. We might get it up and running.
No, we're boycotting Harvey Weinstein's voice. I think we just go it that way.
I don't think it's a stretch to say that this brouhaha, this complete and utter imbroglio relating to all of these instance after instance of sexual harassment, assault and misconduct. We've started to hear it so much more right after these allegations against Harvey Weinstein started bubbling to the surface.
So you think that was really the tipping point, the critical mass that's really pushed it into the...
But why now? Why this instance? The thing about predators, you know, and I'm making a judgment here, but you start to feel, I suppose you start to feel a sense of safety that you can continue to do this because you've gotten away with it for so long and your behavior hasn't been called out. But all of a sudden, because, you know, it is interesting that there was Rose McGowan, a very well-known actress who was in, most famously in some of Greg Araki's early films, a renowned new queer cinema director. She...
But mainly famous for Charmed. That would have to be her main claim to fame. But Daniel, I don't mean to be flippant, but I think what you're going to say is that Rose has been very, very vocal in this
for
area.
A number of years,
and she too has been a victim of sexual harassment or sexual assault. I'm not quite sure what happened with her, but
because she signed, the story goes, and this is all hearsay, but the story goes that she signed an agreement with Harvey Weinstein for something like $100,000 after she brought these accusations of rape, and
so it was a gag order. So she signed a gag order for $100,000 to keep quiet. Is that right?
Well, look, this is
the thing, Hollywood machine that we know. I mean, a lot of what we're hearing are allegations. So what we're reporting on, as our audience should know, are allegations. Mm-hmm. And even understanding how the American media cycle works, it's a media cycle that in itself, the way it reports news, day-to-day news, we know as an audience, we can't trust it. So, so all of a sudden, you know, we are talking about allegations and there's a lot of people coming out, which is fabulous. And I think that's giving a momentum for people to actually tell their story. But we understand how this media cycle in the United States works, especially in film and television, where these powerful people have an opportunity to give somebody quite small an opportunity for a career. And we've heard stories time and time again.
Well, the really interesting thing is that all of Hollywood seems to have come behind these people who have spoken out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here, for instance, is Alec Baldwin talking about how Hollywood kind of had a sense that this was happening and yet didn't do anything.
When you talked about Harvey Weinstein in the business, for example, for decades, you knew that he was highly intrusive in the process of making films. Mm-hmm. You know, his nickname was Harvey Scissorhands, and he was very intrusive in the path of the directors who worked for him. Number two, you knew that he was a very intense guy and very bullying guy and was shouting and screaming at people and exhorting them when he didn't get his way. And last but not least, you heard the rumor that he raped Rose McGowan. You heard that over and over. We've heard that for decades. And nothing was done.
And nobody said anything, though.
But what happened was that Rose McGowan took a payment of $100,000 and settled her case with him. And it was for Rose McGowan to prosecute that case. Mm-hmm.
Look, I think we should use this opportunity to say that there will be a number of sensitive issues that we're touching on this evening. So perhaps some listener caution might be advised.
Look, absolutely. And if you do need to speak to someone, we know Lifeline available 24/7 on 13 11 14. We'll also be speaking to the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission later this evening. Their number, if you do need to reach out to them, is 1300 292 153.
Indeed, while this topic does have a very international dimension, we know that this is happening here in Australia as well. It affects all workplaces here in Australia, but it also affects the Australian film industry. So tonight on Outtakes, we are turning our attention to instances of sexual assault, misconduct and harassment in the Australian film industry. We're asking, you know, why it continues to happen and what we can do about it. And to help us kind of make sense of some of these legal concepts as well as some of the broader issues surrounding these concepts, we will be speaking with Prue Elliston later in the program, who is the legal manager at the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission. We'll also be speaking with Joanna Werner. So Joanna is the chair of the Gender Matters Task Force at Screen Australia. Amongst other things, Joanna is the founder of Werner Film Productions. She's a three-time Emmy nominee, an actor and multi-Logie award-winning television producer, and she'll be joining us later in the program to talk about how Screen Australia has responded to some of these issues.
And great to hear from Joanne Werner, because Joanne Werner is very famous for Dance Academy, which works with very young actors. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing is, you know, we've got very young, vulnerable people on screen, you know, and how to protect those people. So it's great to have somebody like Joanne Werner who has been, you know, responsible for a lot of young people in this space.
But I think also really important to have Prue from the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission joining us, because I think it's so important to, as you say, Gina, wrap our heads around what these concepts are and what is not right and what is unlawful, because we know that certain things are not right, but are they unlawful? And if they are unlawful, or even if they're not right, what can we do about it? What can people in the film industry do about it? I think it's really important to know what our rights are and what legal remedies are available to us and what we can do if we feel like we're being subject to sexual harassment, misconduct or assault. So we'll be speaking with Prue. In fact, we'll be speaking with Prue right after this. You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are turning our attention to the instances of sexual misconduct, harassment and assault that have really crippled the international filmic community. And what we're doing is trying to unpack some of these concepts. So we're thrilled to join to the program Prue Ellertson, who is the legal manager at the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission.
So Prue, basically the Commission's legal team drives systematic change by conducting investigations into unlawful discrimination, by intervening in critical human rights cases, providing guidance on the law and supporting the diverse work of the Commission. Now, most recently, Prue has been conducting the reviews under the Equal Opportunity Act, working towards workplaces free from discrimination and sexual harassment. So Prue.
No easy task. Thank you for joining us.
Big task there.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, Prue, surely you and the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission have observed that there has been a huge increase in discussion, popular discussion about these issues recently.
Yes, certainly. And I think it's a great thing that we are able to have a more robust discussion, I guess, about conduct that's concerning in the community and conduct that may be a breach of our anti-discrimination laws, and actually to be able to bring that forward so that people feel comfortable to report that behaviour.
Do we find, Prue, I know when, you know, a celebrity comes out and talks about having breast cancer and more people start speaking forward, when things like this are in the mainstream media, do we find that it increases, you know, people to report, or does it actually scare people into actually speaking up and seeking help?
Well, in terms of our stats here at the Commission, I can't comment yet on whether we've seen any increase, for example, in response to the film industry commentary. But what we would say is that those that general discussion can help people to call out the behaviour. It may not translate to a complaint, for example, to the Commission, but it may lead to change in an individual workplace where people feel more comfortable or to say that's behaviour that's unacceptable, please stop, or that it might encourage people to, if they observe that behaviour in their workplaces, to stand up as well and to call that behaviour out.
Now, Prue, there are so many different, I suppose, catchphrases that are being bandied about in this discussion. Sometimes they're used correctly, sometimes they're not. But we're hearing a lot about sexual misconduct. We're hearing a lot about sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual harassment. What are these different terms and are they different?
Yes. So I can take you through. Let's start with the term sexual harassment. So under Victoria's laws, under the Equal Opportunity Act, sexual harassment occurs when there's an unwelcome sexual advance, an unwelcome request for sexual favours, or any other unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature that when looked at by a reasonable person, you'd look at all the circumstances and you would think that person is going to be offended, they're going to be humiliated, or they're going to be intimidated. So you're looking at those two key elements of it being unwelcome sexual conduct, and it's also making someone feel offended or humiliated or intimidated.
And Prue, is it criminal conduct, or are we talking about a civil offence, or are we talking about something else altogether?
Under the Equal Opportunity Act, it's a civil offence, and it's against the law in certain areas of public life. So, for example, at work, if you're being provided or receiving goods and services, for example, in retail, in education, in accommodation. So in these areas of public life where the law is saying that type of behaviour is not acceptable and the Equal Opportunity Act protects you from sexual harassment.
Prue, I've got a quick question for you. I just wanted to understand here. I mean, this can be a really tricky area to navigate. Mm. I think sometimes people really struggle to understand the difference between flirtation or being flirty with sexual harassment. And I was just wondering if you could tell us how people can easily distinguish the difference between flirtation and sexual harassment.
Well, Well, I think sexual harassment under our laws here in Victoria is that the critical thing is that it's unwelcome. Mm. So flirtation, where it's between two people who are comfortable with that and accepting of that and enjoying that, it is actually, that's not against the law. But it, where that behaviour is unwelcome, that's where the definition of sexual harassment applies. And so some people might say, well, I don't know that until I ask that question. I don't know that until I make that statement. But if somebody says, if you do that and somebody says stop, then that's the indicator to you that's not the behaviour that they want directed towards them.
I did want to pick your mind about that, Prue, because I know that with certain criminal laws, let's say around rape, for instance, it's not the case that somebody actually needs to say no for there to be for rape to lie. Is it the case with something like sexual harassment that somebody actually needs to say no and make vocal the fact that the harassment is not wanted? How is the perpetrator, so to speak, to discern the kind of internal state and feelings of the person who they're making the advances towards?
Yes. So the Victorian law asks us to look at what would a reasonable person in all the circumstances actually assess this situation as. So would a reasonable person looking at that exchange think that somebody's going to be offended by it? Would they be humiliated or would they be intimidated? And if looking at it with that test, you would think that behaviour is likely to be unwelcome, then that's where the law says that's unlawful behaviour. And it's, I guess, when you're dealing with the sexual assault definition, and we can talk a bit about what that means.
Sure.
There, again, you're looking at consent and whether consent has been provided for that sexual behaviour.
And sexual assault, this would be now a criminal offence?
Yes, it can be a criminal offence. It's behaviour that you don't consent to. It's sexual behaviour. Again, it's causing someone to feel uncomfortable or frightened or threatened. And it's not limited by those areas of public life that I talked about before with the Equal Opportunity Act. So we know that sexual assault can occur in many different settings.
Can I ask a question back on sexual harassment and a special social network? Because we know recently in Victoria laws have changed in regards to ages of consent of even sexting. So sexting laws have changed. How does that play in this space with social, you know, I don't want to use the word dick pics, but this is the stuff that we hear about. How does that work with sexual harassment?
Well, sexual harassment is that unwanted behaviour of a sexual nature. So it can be things like images, it can be text messages, it can be comments or requests for sex, as well as physical acts like touching, rubbing up against people, those sorts of things. So if the situation is that those, for example, those text messages that you referred to are happening in a work context, then the sexual harassment law could apply, where it's saying that behaviour in an employment setting, if it's unwelcome and it's causing somebody to be offended or humiliated or intimidated, then that's unlawful.
Yeah, because I was just going to say we recently covered inappropriate, you know, sexting and the law changes that have been happening on a family show, and highly recommend people listen to that podcast and delete Snapchat off kids' phones. It was our best. Just delete it. Just don't.
Key piece of advice.
Yeah.
Prue, I have a tricky question, I guess, and it's in the context of the film industry. We talked about the idea of the casting couch, which has been around ever since the film industry first came into being.
The fact that we have a title for it, there's a phrase for it.
You know, that's been accepted and enabled. And but I guess the thing here is where is that crossover in that we've got a young actor or young actress who is you know, trying to get their foot in the door, but they're being coerced into providing sexual favours.
Well, I don't think there's any crossover there. So coercion is your key word.
Yeah, but it's what not I consent. Mean. Coercion, no. Consent. Two different C words.
So this is what I'm trying to understand here. On one sense, you've got someone who, you know, there seems to be some pressure, or we would call it coercion, but it could also be that it's implied that if you do put out, you'll get the role. And so I'm just trying to understand, you know, in that sense there, you've got someone who on the surface seems to be providing consent. But in an environment which is coercive.
I think what you're pointing to, though, there, Alan,
I wanted
is,
to see what Brew has to say
well,
about that.
We'll hear what Brew says in a moment, but it sounds to me like you're pointing to a culture of sexual harassment and a culture of misconduct. It's a broad systemic issue that needs to be tackled. But let's see what Prue
has to say about it, because this is what we understand the casting couch to be. We understand the casting couch to be, you know, it's like...
You have to stop asking the question if you like want to hear what Prue thinks.
It's like the old adage, an A for a lay. It's the same thing. You know, you get your foot in the door.
Thank you, Prue. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I think you've raised lots of really important issues there about how we think about sexual harassment in the workplace, and one of those being that issue of real vulnerability and versus power, and what that means for how we support people in the workplace, what that means for how we encourage people to be able to call out behaviour that they don't think is acceptable, and also how employers have processes in place for ensuring that people can make complaints or report these concerns and feel safe at work. I think that issue, again, I keep rephrasing it and restating it, but that idea that whether any of this sexual conduct is unwelcome and is the real key matter for whether it's going to come under the sexual harassment laws, and that issue of consent really at criminal law is something that I guess the courts would look at the factors about whether that consent has been freely given. I think the other point that you raised, I think, Gina, about culture is so important, though, because we know that the culture of a workplace really goes to whether people feel safe and whether they can report these types of behaviour. Then when they report them, what is the action that's taken and how do people go back into work the next day feeling safe and supported and able to do their job?
Well, I did want to ask you about that, Prue. For people listening, what recourse do people have when they feel like they have been the victims or subject to sexual harassment or indeed sexual assault?
There's options for people to call out the behaviour and to say stop. And hopefully in most cases that would actually lead someone to consider their behaviour and stop it. But we know that that doesn't always happen, and the Commission helps people to resolve complaints of discrimination or sexual harassment by providing a conciliation service. So that's the idea that you can make a complaint. It's free, it's confidential, and it's impartial. You make it to the Commission, and the Commission can consider that information. And then for the person who's been alleged to have conducted themselves inappropriately, can get that person can see if we can resolve it in a conciliation where the people can sit down, negotiate an agreed outcome. Now, that could be something like an apology. It could be compensation. It could be training for the workplace so that behaviour doesn't happen again. There's a lot of flexibility about how a resolution can be reached, and it is really led by the parties because it's a voluntary process here at the Commission.
Prue, thank you so much. And that's the thing. We have not even scratched the surface of breaking down that stuff. It's so big. And especially in a space where not everyone works in a professional work environment. We have so many freelancers.
Exactly.
Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission is the easiest thing to put into Google if you are Googling. And we will put up those links on our Facebook page and our podcast. Prue, thank you so much. Even just for breaking down those two definitions. Thank you.
And please, if people do have questions and they're not sure of whether they want to pursue a complaint or whether they're just not sure about how they're being treated at work, they can call us. It's 1300 292 153.
I've got your website here in front of me, Prue, and I can see that number's on the home page there. It's www.humanrightscommission.vic.gov.au. So anyone who wants to find out more about the topics that we've been discussing
tonight, there's no harm in asking. Totally. Thank you, Prue.
That was Prue Ellitston, the manager of legal services at the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission, and breaking down some of the concepts that we've heard a lot in the media lately, these ideas of sexual misconduct, sexual harassment and sexual assault. And they really have, I mean, it's all anyone in Hollywood is actually talking about at the moment.
What I was curious about, and I'm not sure if Prue was the person to ask, was that we hear a lot in the American cases about the statute of limitations and as to why some people aren't pursuing matters. So the Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, who are currently, well, Corey Haim has passed, but Corey Feldman has been making allegations about basically sexual himself and Corey being sexually assaulted when they were young and saying they can no longer pursue these matters because of statute of limitation. You know, so there's so much kind of coming out there, and this is why we are talking about allegations that have been made in the public sphere at this point in time.
And it does, you know, it is a really fraught discussion, because we as a society believe that a person is equal until proven guilty.
Well, we do here in Australia. I can't, you know, the way it reports
in the Western world.
Yeah.
So these people are being judged in the arena of public opinion and by the media, and is that going to affect whether there can be an actual accurate legal outcome in
We know here in Australia you can't, you know, we've got suppression orders and you can't actually speak on matters that are before the courts, because that can actually impact a decision, an outcome in the court.
And these are live issues. These are live issues, because just recently there's been a lot of talk in England about the English authorities taking pressing criminal charges against Kevin Spacey.
So this is when he was at the
theatre,
at one of their theatres,
as opposed to
as an artistic director. I think they did an investigation after the recent
very similar circumstances to Jeffrey Rush, actually.
Okay,
so you know, it bears noting that there are so many much loved names that have been subject to accusations and allegations of sexual assault, misconduct, and abuse.
But I think that really came out after Anthony Rapp posted on Twitter about his experience with Kevin Spacey as a 14-year-old boy, where he experienced it wasn't necessarily assault, but it could have easily have led that way.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have to take our hats off to the British authorities, because of course that then stimulated some conversation in Britain, and they actually did something about it. They investigated.
And for our community, the Kevin Spacey stuff, it was more.
That was shocking.
I wanted to swear almost just then.
But you know, we do have to say, like, good on people like Anthony Rapp for actually speaking out.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone can underestimate how difficult it is.
And Kevin Spacey's PR person should be, like, handing in their
Well, I don't think they'd have a job now anymore because Kevin Spacey's career is all but shot.
And remember this, people, when we are talking about these kind of Kevin Spacey-esque celebrities, they have a team of PR people that help them get messages out. So no excuses.
So that message that Kevin Spacey took to, was it Facebook with?
Twitter.
I have a lot of respect and admiration for Anthony Rapp as an actor. I'm beyond horrified to hear his story. I honestly do not remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago. But if I did behave then as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate, drunken behavior. And I'm sorry for the feelings he describes having carried with him all these years. This story has encouraged me to address other things about my life. I know that there are stories out there about me, and that some have been fueled by the fact that I have been so private, or so protective of my privacy. As those closest to me know, in my life, I have had relationships with both men and women. I have loved and had romantic encounters with men throughout my life, and I choose now to live as a gay man.
Oh, you choose to now, darling.
I want to deal with this honestly and openly, and that starts with examining my own behavior.
Wow. That is just so many different types of wrong, because he really should have just stopped at his apology.
Well, it wasn't even an apology. You don't start. You don't say this was drunken behaviour.
And drunken behaviour is no excuse. And we can tell you in a court of law it is not.
We have heard all kinds of excuses.
Yes, yep.
Totally.
Everyone has a different excuse.
Can I just say, I'm going to give credit to somebody who probably released the best statement in the ones that I've seen thus far. And it's not a statement of statements.
About Kevin Spacey?
No, no, it is about Harvey Weinstein. It was okay. Uma Thurman. And this is the thing. We are seeing a lot on social media, and our actors and actresses are being stopped in, you know, red carpet events and being asked things. Mm. I don't know if everyone saw this, but you should Google it. Uma Thurman was interviewed with Access Hollywood when all this was kind of alive and kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see her in this interview just shaking.
Yeah,
and
wow.
and she actually says to the interviewer, "I don't have a tiny soundbite for you because I have learned I'm not a child, and I have learned that when I have spoken in anger, I usually regret the way I express myself." And she basically said, "I am choosing my words carefully, and you will hear from me soon." So she and you can tell this woman is wanting to scream.
Mm. Well, someone we did hear from was Rose McGowan in response to the Kevin Spacey scandal.
And I think this tweet is just so powerful. She says, "Bye-bye, Spacey, goodbye. It's your turn to cry, and that's why we've got to say goodbye."
And
hashtag
then
Rose Army.
Someone like Todd Haynes saying, "Dear Kevin Spacey, I don't care whether you are gay or straight. I do, however, care about pedophilia. Yes. Coming out as gay doesn't excuse that." And I don't remember who it was, but a gay actor who said, "I think Kevin Spacey has invented what's never existed before, a bad time to come out." Like,
yeah.
And, that's what's been so encouraging about this. I mean, if we can draw something encouraging from this scandal, this brouhaha, it's the way that Hollywood has rallied around these people who have spoken out.
But why now? And this is the thing, and I was recently looking at the Corey stuff, because I grew up with the Corey Haimes and the Corey Feldmans from Your Lost Boys to Goonies and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And Corey Feldman is now saying he's frightened for his life because he has apparently gone to the LAPD and has been giving names. Again, I'm quoting an interview here from Corey Feldman, where he's giving names and he's afraid for his life because he is saying that Hollywood pedophilia is alive and well. So there is frightening stuff that is out there at the moment. And again, he's quoting statute of limitations in this stuff.
Well, I
and hence going public because he's saying he can't be heard in the legal sphere.
Mm. Well, I suppose pedophilia is another issue altogether. Yeah. Like that's just a whole nother minefield. But it is shocking. And we haven't even touched on Jeffrey Tambor and some, you know, Transparent will not run in the way it has, if it runs at all, again, because of allegations that were made against him, which he hasn't accepted. I guess nobody that we've talked about so far has accepted the allegations.
Yeah. Actually, allegations made against him while he was working on Transparent.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, of all programs.
By another trans actor.
I mean, like, seriously.
Mm.
So, look, we are discussing the way that these instances that are becoming so prolific and being talked about so much now of sexual assault, misconduct and harassment have crippled the film industry. And we're turning our attention to what the Victorian law, the Australian law, has to say about it. And indeed, you know, how our film industry has responded. So to help us make sense of how our film industry has responded to these issues, we're going to be joined shortly by Joanna Werner. Joanna is the chair of the Gender Matters Task Force, which I think is, Gina, it's a really important new initiative from Screen Australia to strive towards gender parity.
Basically, look, in May 2015 is when Screen Australia released that historical data. So Gender Matters is the umbrella name under Screen Australia's programs to address the underutilisation of female talent in key creative roles. So that's what Gender Matter is. We've talked about it frequently on the show. There are still initiatives that are either still, you know, wrapping up now from those 2015, you know, 2016 initiatives to try and re-inject the right creatives to be getting support in the industry.
So we'll be talking with Joanna Werner, the chair of the Gender Matters Task Force, about her observations on the matter and indeed about the way that Screen Australia has approached this issue. We'll be speaking with Joanna right after this. You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
tell me it gets better in time. You say to pull myself together, pull it together, you'll be fine. Tell me what the hell do you know, what do you know? Tell me how the hell could you know? Hold your head up and be strong. 'Cause when you fall, you gotta get up. You gotta get up and move on. Tell me how the hell can you talk? How can you talk? 'Cause until you walk where I walk, it's just all talk. Till it happens to you.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, the home of queer cinema, where this evening we've turned our attention to those instances which are becoming far more prevalent, or at least being talked about a whole lot more, of sexual assault, misconduct and abuse, which have really kind of crippled the film industry internationally.
And we've just been listening to Lady Gaga with the song Till It Happens to You, which came from the Academy Award-winning documentary last year called The Hunting Ground, which dealt with rape culture on university campuses in the US. And there was such a powerful song, such a powerful moment.
The way she performed it at the Academy Awards as well was really kind of confronting.
Yeah. It was spine tingling, wasn't it? Yeah.
Now we are joined on the phone at the moment by Joanna Werner. Joanna Werner is the chair of the Gender Matters Task Force at Screen Australia, but of course Joanna is independent from Screen Australia. Joanna is the founder of Werner Film Productions. She's a three-time Emmy nominee, an actor and multi-Logie award-winning television producer. So Joanna, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Joanna, before we get started, I'm going to sing your praises as the Queer Film Show. It needs to be noted that Dance Academy was a brilliant teen show that actually featured a gay storyline without making it over sensational, as we've seen on some other kind of shows. So thank you so much. I think that was back in 2010. You had one of the first gay storylines. So that really important for our youth to be seeing those images without it being
absolutely
torn apart. So thank you.
And it's interesting. We had a lot of support from the ABC on that because we always have to talk about, we can't have too many passions on kids' TV, but there was just no question whether it was a boy-girl pash or a boy-boy pash. It was a really supported storyline from the ABC. And
well done.
Sammy was just the most loved character in the whole series. But I also have to say, I just produced a Italian movie called Riot, which is about the first Mardi Gras. So hopefully I'll be talking to you next year about that.
Fantastic. Oh,
well, we will hold you to that, Joanna. We will definitely hold you to that. Now,
excellent.
Joanna, about a month ago, the Gender Matters Task Force released a statement on sexual harassment. I'm just going to read the first line from that statement. It went, "The Gender Matters Task Force is made up of upcoming and prominent women representative across the screen sector. Some women on the task force have recently fielded calls concerning sexual harassment and assault." Can you talk us through exactly what's been happening?
I think everybody in the industry, it's a discussion that's happening across the board. So the Gender Matters Task Force is made up of, as I said in that quote, it's made up of upcoming and prominent women in the sector. So it really is just natural that these are some of the women that other women will gravitate to talk to, just as would be happening across the board with women in senior positions. So yes, we did field some questions. A lot of them were about, well, what actually do you do, as opposed to going into great detail, but there's so many discussions being had in the sector at the moment.
Joanna, Gina here, and when we look at the sector, I mean, I'm someone who works for, a government organisation. I know the training I receive. A lot of the people in this sector are freelancers. They don't work, in a corporate setting where you tick off the boxes with HR. Are those people who work more freelancing a bit more at risk?
I think absolutely. There's a vulnerability there because in so many cases in the film and television industry, it's a short-term job. You might do, for example, Riot. We just filmed for 4 weeks, so people might come on for 3 weeks of pre-production, 4 weeks of shoot, and then you're out. So in that time, there's a real responsibility of the production companies. And again, some of those are, I'm an independent producer with a very small production company, and when you are into production, you suddenly have a lot of employees, and then when you're not in production, you'll go down to a much smaller crew. And so it's really important for both freelancers who are employees, but also employers, to really understand what your rights and responsibilities are. And that's what the Gender Matters Task Force wanted to try to assist the industry with. And that's, I think, this the fact sheet is a really handy tool for just to know what your rights and responsibilities are.
Joanna, I understand that you might not be at liberty to talk about the kinds of behaviour that people have been reporting, but is there anything in particular that's continued to kind of rear its head, or are we talking about, a really diverse range of potential misconduct?
I'm sure everybody's having these conversations in every workplace around Australia, and whether or not the film industry is more prevalent than others, I can't say because I've always worked in the film and TV industry.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably the fact that we're just so much more prominent, and everybody, the newspapers seem to be salivating for the next story. And I'm sure that there's as much misconduct in other workplaces. It's just a lot less interesting to hear about and to report about. But, I just welcome the conversations. I think if this has drawn a line in the sand where people feel free to discuss things that otherwise, and in the past, people have kept to themselves and thought they just have to put up with, I think it's a fantastic conversation that people feel that they can have the conversation.
Joan, what are some really good ways that people, and again, looking at freelancers where, you know, they might be afraid to speak up because they think, I won't get that call on that next job. What will happen then? What can people do to protect themselves? I mean, we know there are guilds and all that sort of stuff, but what are ways that, yeah, individuals can protect themselves to speak up?
Absolutely, to speak up, and I think every department has a head of department. And what we're going to, and I think you need to feel free to speak up and know that you'll be heard. And I think that's something that is shifting now. And if there can be seen as something positive coming out of all of this, that is the thing, to have the courage to speak up and that you will be heard.
I think how can they have some sort of assurance that they're not going to be victimised or marginalised in the future?
Work
So you get supported, great, but what about job security and job, you know, protecting their future?
Absolutely, and that's a discussion that we're all having, and I can't profess to have all of the answers. We've got a Safer Workplaces, session coming up for the industry that Aluminium Film and Television, Screen Australia, MIA, SPA, and a whole heap of other industry bodies are getting together to put on and invite all practitioners to come along so that the conversation can actually turn into something productive so people know what are your rights, and to make sure that you're not going to not get a job for being seen as difficult for speaking up. I do think is really positive is that one of the initiatives that the task force is involved with, and Screen Australia really promoted, is the Gender Matters initiative to make sure we're pushing for equality in front of and behind the camera. And the more women that are in senior roles, the more likely that a younger woman is to be able to feel that they can speak up. So that push for equality throughout the industry, in front of and behind the camera, is just more important than ever.
Do you think it's also the case, though, that it's those women who are more senior? Certainly, I think this has been the case in Hollywood when there have been there's somehow more of a sense of that they can actually speak out, because it's a lot of people who are. I mean, we see this power dynamic of the powerful and then the vulnerable, and it's the vulnerable who are taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. How do we reach those vulnerable people who are just at the bottom of the pecking order in the film industry and trying to make their way up? How do we help them?
Well, I think these conversations we're having that, you know, that people are coming out, and you know, some of these complaints that you're seeing in the media, they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
And the fact that they haven't felt comfortable till now to speak up is terrible. And I think what is starting to come out is that you do need to speak up, and you don't have to hold on to it for any period of time.
I think that whole leadership being a responsibility in this culture of disrespect we've seen in the past, and especially in that Hollywood model. Joanne, I know as a filmmaker, I'm frightened seeing these reports in the States when someone, you know, shows are being shut down at the mention and an allegation of an actor. Here in Australia, if a show was shut down, that means a lot of people are out of work, and a lot of people's hard work that's probably taken years to get, you know, even, you know, production going. That there are victims being created. There's a bigger circle, bigger wave of victims that are being created with this.
Absolutely, and I guess it's why it's so prominent at the moment. Just on the news tonight, talking about the Actor Awards, the industry lunch that happened today, and it's a fabulous event, and it's such a celebration of our craft and of all of the, you know, incredibly talented practitioners who work in the sector. And the only thing that they talked about in the news was this issue. But if we can have the conversation, if we can change workplaces so that there is a culture of speaking up, and that it's just absolutely not accepted, the sort of behaviours that in the past have seemingly gone on and been tolerated, then I think that's a positive thing for the industry.
Yeah, I think as well it is just, it's such a broader issue than just the industry as well, though. So while the industry seems to have carried the brunt of the kind of media storm in relation to these allegations, we know that it's the industry can't deal with it alone. This is cultural change that we need. This is social change
Every
that we
one
need.
Of us is responsible.
It's this Trump-esque comment that boys will just be boys, you know. It's not the case.
No.
And just this out,
you know, this absolute understanding now that that's not tolerated. You know, I'd absolutely, I think we'd all like to think that there is no way that somebody who said the sort of things that Trump did would be a prime minister in Australia. It just wouldn't happen. And these sort of conversations are just showing that Australia is absolutely not going to tolerate these kind of behaviours.
And I know that we've focused on the sexual harassment, sexual assault that women face, and rightly so, because that's where the majority of it is. But I think we should also note that men too can also experience sexual assault and sexual harassment. And I think that's why, you know, I think, you know, raising the issue that's occurring with women is very important. But also at the same time too, we should acknowledge that men can also suffer.
Of course.
Absolutely, and we've seen that play out in the news as well with some of the instances from the States.
Joanna, thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing your thoughts on this issue with us. It's been a real pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks very much for having me, and I would just like to say that if anyone does have any issues or concerns and they want to know what are the steps that they can take, who are the people they should talk to, if you go to the Screen Australia website, which is screenaustralia.gov.au, there is the Gender Matters Statement on Sexual Harassment, and it really is quite a user-friendly fact sheet. It talks about what sexual harassment is, because, you know, people flirt in the office, and, you know, just we don't want to go, it's a good user-friendly tool, and it does have some details of where you can go to.
And it's got a great sources and useful links section there as well for people who want to read further about what the law says and also want to speak to someone.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks very much for having me, and I think it's a great conversation that we're having.
Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you, Joanna.
Well, that was Joanna Werner, the chair of the Gender Matters Task Force at Screen Australia, sharing her thoughts about this really terrible issue that has crippled the Joanna speaking there even about how it's overshadowing so much good that the film industry is accomplishing.
Mm.
So, look, that's it for another week on Outtakes. We do need to thank Joanna Werner and, of course, Prue Ellertson for joining us on the program this evening.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.